Let the show begin. You guys have fun out there today.
Hello, and welcome to New Shooter Canada. Please remember that the show's content is simply the opinions of the hosts and our guests. So without delay, let me introduce our hosts, George, Tom, and Kelly.
Good evening and welcome to episode 72 of New Shooter Canada. Tonight we're going to be talking about the reclassification or declassification of some firearms in our main topic, and then we're also going to be looking at some stories in the news as well as some what's new in the industry. And I'm one of your hosts, Kelly Lynn, and we have another host. Hi, Thomas.
Hi. How you doing? My name's Tom.
Thomas Donnelly. And George isn't with us tonight, but hopefully through the miracles of modern editing, he'll be joining us at some point. So, yeah. Anyways, Thomas, what did we do with guns this week?
This week? I heard that George was in Oshawa this weekend, and he never dropped by or gave me a call or anything, so we could have gone shooting, but I didn't hear from George. What did I do? The grip for my AR came loose, so I bought some more blue Loctite and a T-handle hex screwdriver from Princess Auto. That screw's not coming loose anytime soon. I reefed it in there.
Your screw is not loose? No comment.
I must have put it in very tight, because I had a lock washer. Yeah, I'm always a few screws loose.
I know. I know.
But Princess Auto surprised me. They do have a small area for gun cleaning supplies, cases, and accessories. It was all garbage stuff, nothing I would buy, but I was surprised they actually had it there. And then I did a lot of stuff on the charity shoot, reconfirming with our sponsors and getting some prize table items. Lots going on there, but I'll get into trouble if I give away too many spoilers.
Okay, so it's not that we're going to get into trouble. We just want to make sure that we actually are able to have the items before we say, oh, this is what we're getting, right?
I'm just excited, that's all.
I know you're excited, and that's actually not a bad thing.
And what else? Oh, I got my AR barrel soaking in number 9. I cleaned it. I've never cleaned that AR. It's got about 1,500 rounds to it. Never cleaned it. So I took it all apart, and I put a brush to the barrel a couple times, and I oiled it and put it in the cabinet. There was a light source in my gun safe, and I look at it and I said, what the hell is in the barrel? And I could still see lines and lines of copper inside the barrel. So I took some ram wrap and an elastic, and I plugged up the muzzle, and I just poured the whole bottle of Hops 9 down the barrel. So the whole barrel is sitting downstairs. It's been soaking since about 2 o'clock. So maybe before I go to bed tonight, I'll give it a good scrubbing.
Okay.
That's all I've done. I didn't do any shooting, nothing.
Nothing. Okay. And what's this about a Benelli?
Well, I'm thinking of selling my Benelli MR1. If anybody wants a restricted Benelli, drop me a line and I'll give you a really cheap deal on it. I'll let it go for $800. I've dropped it from $1,200. Nobody wanted it. $1,000. Nobody wants it. So I'll let it go for $800, but it is restricted. Nice gun. I need a new 1911, so I'm going to sell it.
Really? You need another 1911? Another one? Really?
I really want another STI Trojan and 9mm.
How much is that going to cost you?
Probably about 13.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, you need to probably sell a couple of guns.
No, I'm not selling anything else. That's it. I'm done selling. I'm keeping now.
All right.
What about you, Kelly? What you doing guns this week?
I did a little bit more dry firing with my Glock 17, so I haven't really put into... you know how we were talking about putting in a couple of hours a week?
Yeah.
You know, 15 minutes, half an hour a day. Haven't been able to do that, but I have put in a couple of times of dry firing, which is more than I have in the last little while. So that was good. I even have, in the middle of my living room wall, I have a picture to do the dry firing on, so... I don't know if my neighbors want to come in and see that. Anyways, and I went to the monthly directors meeting for the Brockville Range on Wednesday night, which was interesting and lots of fun. I updated them on the charity shoot, what was happening with that, and told them we were about to roll out the registration for that, and they had some questions and that. And it was they're very supportive of the charity event. So again, we're thankful for them for donating the range for that day. Hopefully when everybody comes, they'll see, you know, it's a quaint range. And what I mean by quaint is it's actually rustic, right? You've been there, Thomas? Thomas?
It's got, I'm just laughing. It's a quaint range. We have one extended firing line.
Right. So we had to be
inventive.
Right, because we have a pistol house, we have a 25 and a 50 yard, and we also have a 100 yard, and we have a 240 that goes off on an angle and as well. And we were also looking at opening up some other things as well, and that, so we discussed those a bit in that too. But again, it was an interesting night at the Brockville Range, but we also, everybody was very excited, and it was quite, and Kevin and I were talking about it. We have some people there that we didn't think would be all that interested in the charity shoot, but they're really excited, and they're interested in helping out in that too. So that's awesome, and it's great. We have some volunteers that have already said that they would help us out, and people who want to be on the committee for it. And
cool.
That, so
it's how really many, cool. How many volunteers do you think we have?
Well, what we're looking at is we're looking at we'll need at least probably 15 to 20 volunteers to help with everything from just registration to being ROs to even just running around and all that. And we have, from their membership, I think that we'll have mostly of that covered, if not all of it. So, and they were talking about, putting a call out to see if we need any more and all that as well. So they're very interested in helping out in that too. So what's good.
It's good to see.
Yeah, and we're doing some more work on the charity shoot itself. We did open registration in that, as everybody probably saw. But we also were looking at invite letters and different things like that too. So trying to fit that in between being sick as a dog still and then also preparing for some of the things I'm doing this week with work. So, yeah. And what else? Sunday. So, what day is today? Today's Monday. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, it was only yesterday. Went out to the range.
Mondays.
Me too. Yeah. Anyways, went out to the range, and we went out with a friend of ours. His name is Chris. He's looking at joining a couple of the ranges and that. He was the guy that I was talking to you about that had come from Alberta.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, so he went to the Brockville Range on Wednesday night as well. But again, we met up with him at the Frontenac Range on yesterday. And we all took out our new 1022s. Well, mine's not new, but Kevin's is new. And Chris brought a brand new one based on some of the things that we said about 22s. And also, he was also thinking about maybe at some point doing an apple seed and that as well.
Cool.
So I walked him through how to use a sling, because he wasn't using a sling. And he looked at zeroing in his target and... Not his target, sorry, his 1022 and that. And then once he shot with a sling, he saw how much more stable things were in that as well. And he really enjoyed it, actually. He thought it was really cool. So, yeah.
Was he using a standard barrel, or did he put a new barrel in it?
He was using the standard barrel, and then he was looking at, I have almost like a shroud. It's more substantial on the end of mine. Excuse me. he was looking at mine and was thinking that he would like to get something like that for his as well. And then we did tell him that, in order to put that on, we had to actually, take a hacksaw and cut off the front sights. But he was kind of up in the air if he wanted to do that or not. Yeah. Anyways, but he still had the standard barrel. He had an ATI stock. Not the one that I have, because he wasn't too keen on having to take off the optics and everything if he wanted to clean it. So, anyways. So, yeah. And I shot this month's challenge. We did it at the 25 meters and that. And the first one I put up was the first one I submitted. And said, that's pretty good. I was happy with my setting in and all that. So.
And those targets, I saw them.
Yeah, they were pretty good. And the other thing that I did was I practiced my seated shooting. And that, again, I was really happy with, too. Well, okay, define really happy. I was happy because almost every one of them were in the five or the, either in the VBOL or in the 5, 5 points on our AQT target. But you know me, I need to have them really nice and close and.
It's almost people. Touching.
I know, and that I'm a pretty of a perfectionist, but at the same time, I need to really work on my 7 steps and that to, you know, get the NPOA, which I had, and get my breathing. Which,
oh, you've got it. I've seen your targets. You put up some incredibly good targets.
Well, you know what I found? I'm fine that I rush, but you know what? If in this seated position, when you only have 55 seconds to do a make change transition and all that, you kind of really have to.
Yeah. You know. You don't have a lot of time.
No, you don't. But that being said, I'm still going to practice my make changes. So sitting here at home on the floor and making sure I have everything, like, there's a difference between outside and inside. So I'm going to get my coat on. I'm going to get my shoes or my boots on and just practice my make changes. Do those as quickly as possible as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, no reason you can't dry fire inside. I forgot. I actually did some dry firing, but I'm I can no longer dry fire in the house.
Okay.
My new shot timer, it drives the dog crazy. Soon that timer goes off, Colt just starts howling and puts up such a... So I have to dry fire in the garage.
Yeah,
I'm not sure surprised. I'm surprised my neighbors aren't asking, wondering what I'm doing out there.
Well, why? Because Colt, he barks or howls when you're out there as well, or
no, he doesn't hear it.
Oh, but he hear they
it, but if I do it in the basement,
they hear the shot timer.
They hear the beep.
Oh, okay.
As soon as he hears the beep, he just starts howling. Mm. It's. I think it's quite funny, but it drives Terry crazy. Mm. And apparently Terry's actually signed up for the charity shoot already. She's not coming, but she wants a shirt. She wants a gun draw. She wants to win a gun.
So, yeah, we can do that. But why don't we actually talk about that in the events part of it, too?
Yeah.
How people can actually participate if they're not even able to come.
True.
Yeah. Anything else going on?
No, that's it.
Okay, so let's talk about guns in the news. You want to do story one?
Sure. Man charged with murder after confrontation with a truck thief. I think a lot of us have heard about this this week. Benbrook man has been charged with murder after he allegedly shot someone trying to steal a truck from his driveway. Hamilton police were called at 3 a.m. Thursday to a bungalow on Highway 56 between Golf Club Road and Regional Road 20, where they found a man who had been felled by gunfire. Police spokesman Constable Steve Welton said that the victim was next to a pickup truck, and a statement police said that the adult male was attempting to steal a truck in the driveway, and they say a resident at home confronted the bandit with the gun. The resident, well armed with a firearm, confronted the man, police said. During the confrontation, the man attempting to steal the truck died as a result of gunshot injuries. Welton said efforts were made to save the man, but he died at the scene. He was identified by police as Jonathan Dwight Stivers, 29, of Oshweken. Peter Kill.
That's an unfortunate name.
Oh, yeah, Peter Kill, 26. has been charged with second degree. I haven't seen his name. Peter Kill, 26, has been charged with second degree murder. Homicide Detective Dave Olenek and said Kyle and Stryers did not know each other. Mm-hmm. Neighbor Scott Moody said the man in custody is an acquaintance of him, of whom he knows only as Pete, and that he lives in the house with his girlfriend. He also said the suspect worked as a mechanic, but not be more specific. Moody said he once caught the man trying to break into his garage and chased him down the road with a baseball bat.
So when he said suspect, was he talking about the suspect, Mr. Hill?
Or he was talking about the gunshot victim.
Okay. So the guy that actually was killed. So he knew him and that he tried to break into his house or garage, sorry, and chased him with a baseball bat. So he was somebody that
he's known,
in the neighborhood. Yeah. So a couple things. So he was charged with second degree murder. What I know of it, he'll be charged with second degree murder, but if he's convicted, it'd probably be of manslaughter.
Yeah, possibly.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. It doesn't mention whether the thief was armed or anything. So we don't know whether it was valid self-defense or the guy was just went overboard protecting his property.
No, we don't. But he said they went out into the parking lot or to the driveway, yeah. And he had armed himself. So what had happened was he engaged the guy. And you know what? It's human nature for us to want to protect our property and all that. But at the same time, if you're going out into the driveway and you're arming yourself, and something more likely than not, something can happen because we have armed ourselves, whether it's with a bat, as the Mr. Moody had said, or it's with a firearm, which happened in this case. So.
The problem is, if you're not in defending your life with a firearm, you're going to get charged with manslaughter or murder. You know, property is one thing; your life is a different matter under the criminal code.
Right, and it's the same thing. Remember when RJ was on our show and we were talking about, as Canadians, what we can do to protect ourselves, and he was talking about it from the point of view of somebody breaking into a home and engaging us. George had mentioned that, you know, it was one thing to be on a different level and to barricade yourself and protect your family. It's another thing to go down and trying to protect your TV, which is absolutely true. In Canadian law, we're able to protect our family, especially if there's an imminent threat. However, we're not able to engage somebody with deadly force if it's a car or a TV. We can replace material things. We can't replace our family or our loved ones. And quite honestly, we have insurance to replace. I understand it's human nature and that, but right now, that's the difference between the U.S. and us.
We don't have the right to protect property. We have no property rights in Canada.
No. And he armed himself and he went out into his driveway to try and basically protect his property.
Well, you know, there is that property right petition that's going on that they want to change the Constitution, or Constitution, whatever it's called, Charter of Rights. But, you know, if we had that in there, where we had the right to protect our property, then he would have legal ground to stand on, but we don't have that.
And here I am being devil's advocate, right? Yeah. Is a truck really worth somebody's life? No. Now, the guy is being a little bit of an...
Well, we don't know what happened. That's the problem.
No, we don't, but we're drawing assumptions here. They're not saying the guy was armed or anything in the story or whatever. He has had a past history of trying to break in that neighborhood. But the other thing is, again, is somebody's life worth taking? Is it worth taking somebody's life to try and steal if he's stealing a car?
It's not worth the aggravation if you do it. It will change your life forever if you pull the trigger and you're not defending yourself.
Absolutely. So. And Mr. Kill, is it Kill? Yeah. His life's changed forever now. Really?
Well, apparently somebody does have a petition to free the homeowner. We'll put the links on the website, but you know, so we don't have all the details of the story, so we're just making assumptions at this point. But if he wasn't protecting his own life at that time, he's going to have a hard challenge in the courts.
No. Quite honestly, I understand where people are coming from. You know, people are coming in and they're invading either their space or their homes, and that feeling of being victimized and not, but if somebody comes in and takes something, or somebody's out in their driveway and takes something, it's not worth taking somebody's life for it.
Oh, sure. Did you take my dog? I'm going to shoot you. You take my dog, I will shoot you. I will hunt you down and kill you if you take my dog.
Okay. Dogs are the exception. I agree with you there. No. Sorry, I had a call. But yeah. Anyways, I'm probably going to be seeing him soon. So
what's story two?
So story two is a little something that I put in there. It's in regards to a gun range that's opening up in the district or the county near Brockville. It's in Tin Cap. So I'll read the story, and then we can talk about it a little bit. So the story is shooting range site plan formalized. So a couple of months ago, this is what happened. For Murray Rule, the assurance of a sound mitigation report isn't enough for him to believe a shooting range in Tin Cap is a good idea. I can't see how they can do away with the noise. They say they're going to mitigate it, whatever that means, said Rule, at an Elizabethtown Kittley Township Planning Committee held Thursday afternoon. I know I'm going to get noise from this, and there's a pretty good chance I'm going to get some ricochet bullets. I don't feel it's an appropriate thing to put a person through. Despite his concerns, the proposed firing range at the Brockville Thousand Islands Regional Tackaberry Airport is one step closer to approval after an updated site plan was unveiled to and later approved by the township's Planning Advisory Committee Thursday. When Reticle Ventures Canada, an Ottawa-based company, first announced its intentions to open the firing range last year, the proposal only included an indoor firing range and a portable office structure at the regional airport. Since its original proposal in June 2015 council meeting, a number of changes were made to the site plan after consultation with Tin Cap residents and other governing bodies. The site plan application now includes a new 21,600 square foot airplane hangar construction, a portable office, a future training facility building, a 50 meter outdoor firing range, and an unidentified sound barrier, which is actually the berm. The changes were made in early December. They filed an amendment to their site approval application, said Director of Planning Barb Cavallis, adding the plan's approval will last through the next 2 years of their planning timeline. The staff reported recommendations to the company. Recommends the company address certain drainage and parking issues on the property before proceeding. But the main concern of the committee members and the residents in attendance was the company's plan for sound mitigation. There are recommendations. We received some documentation regarding the nature of the sound barrier construction and its intended ability to mitigate noise, Cavallis said. Adding, this was a documented concern before residents since the project was announced. A representative for Reticle, Eric Tupin, assured the committee all concerns specifically regarding noise mitigation would be addressed. Brant Burrow, a representative and member of Elizabethtown Kittley Residents Association, a residents group formed in opposition to the project, said noise has been their top concern since the beginning, and they haven't received adequate assurance from the township or Reticle on the issue.
Can I just say one thing?
Sure.
Suppressors. If they had suppressors, it wouldn't be a problem.
Well,
other countries mandate suppressors for ranges, and ours, our government has this James Bond image that we can't have suppressors because they're silencers.
Okay. They're not. Just hold on. Let me finish the article, and then we can talk about it. We find it ludicrous that, to date, a council seems to have simply accepted Reticle's assertion they will do their best to mitigate sound from the outdoor range, Burrow said. Adding his disappointment, the planning committee made no request for a proper sound study or emergency response plan before approving the plan. He admitted some changes to the site plan, like the proposed noise barrier, are welcomed, but there aren't enough to make up for the council's missteps along the way. All along, there seems to have been some serious lack of proper and expected planning practice, including requiring the proponent to furnish certain certified studies and plan for action, which should be common sense, he said. Reticle has two site development applications before the township, an outdoor range at the Brockville Thousand Islands Regional Tackaberry Airport, like we just said, property, and an indoor range at the former Tin Cap School building. Council has given first and second readings of the site plan requests for both locations, with final reading planned in the upcoming council meeting in the next year, in the new year. So they actually have read it. We'll update you on that as well. If the company is successful, it would hire up to 40 full-time workers, a number that swelled temporarily to 150 on a surge basis. And I think that's what's setting everything up and getting everything ready. So the recommendation by staff will now go to council for third reading in the coming weeks. So That being said, reticle, what it is it's they're proposing it. So they're going to have both the hangar, which is going to be...
It's going to be a training facility?
A training facility.
Okay.
And they're going to have an outdoor range. So one's going to be at the former airport, and one's going to be at the former school. Now, they've already moved in, apparently, the outdoor... or the portables, portable offices and that, and they've poured pads, apparently. They've done some noise studies, I guess, to see how noisy it was going to be. And they've also started building berms. So that being said, that would be the noise barrier, or the noise reductions would be the berms that are being implemented. The indoor range would obviously, the indoor facility would have noise reduction as well, because it'd be an indoor facility and that too. So the residents aren't very happy. Now, the one thing that I'm...
Well, it's council must seem to like it, because it's gone through two readings already.
Well, council likes it because of the fact that it's bringing jobs to the area, right? So originally it said 150, and I'm thinking the 150 is pouring the cement pads, moving the portable offices, yeah, building their hangar, taking the berm and building the berms and all that. But once it's all built, it's going to be 40 full time. Now, what they're doing is it's... Reticle isn't just an open gun range. It's a specialized gun range, and it's going to be specialized
for a tactical school.
It's a tactical school, so okay. You're right. So they're going to be opening it up to, you know, police forces, different things, training facilities. I looked them up, and it's not going to be a group of boys going out and, you know, zeroing in their hunting rifles and different things like that. So there is going to be a lot of noise, especially if, for example, if, let's see, the OPP book the range and they go in and they book it, there's going to be a lot of noise. That being said, it's where an airport used to be, so the residents should or have an expectation of noise, because the airport would have been noisy as well, correct?
True, but a lot of these, you know, even the local airports are being shut down because the residents are putting through so many noise complaints.
I know. But you gotta admit, you know what? If the airport was there first, right? And then you build your house, you gotta expect a little bit of noise.
Oh, I know. Well, same with at the Union Club. The one guy wasn't giving problems for years till they stopped giving him his free membership. Then he started getting all the neighbors worked up, and now we're having all kinds of problems with the town. But mm-hmm. We never had problems with the town until we had OPG, and the noise level increased drastically.
Yeah.
So I can see if they're going to be having, you know, military groups training, either police or private forces, whatever it is,
yep,
and they're going to be putting a lot of shots down on range and training, because if they're police,
people are going to be upset.
They're full regular capacity magazines.
Mm-hmm. And that's what they were using, actually, when they did their test as well. The other thing that they were upset about is apparently because the horses that they had there, or the cows or the sheep or the dogs or whatever, they got spooked by you know, the firing of the rifles and that.
Oh, apparently. We had the one neighbor call the police on us saying there was machine gun fire going off. Mm-hmm. We had cruisers show up, because as soon as you say machine gun, they have to show up, right?
Yeah. Well, anyways, apparently the dogs pooped everywhere. That being said, you know, I can understand why they're upset, but at the same time, you have to, anyways.
See, the problem is, and what's that big range out west that's going through the same thing? If we were allowed to use suppressors, it would eliminate any confrontation between private homeowners and ranges.
Yeah, well...
It really would. It wouldn't be a criminal act. You wouldn't have to worry about... You still hear them. It just reduces the sound. It's not like it's in a spy movie where you hear pop, pop. You hear the gun cycle, and you do hear it fire. You just don't have the loud subsonic smack when it breaks the speed barrier. Mm-hmm. But if you want to get rid of noise complaints, that's the one way to do it. Make it a suppressed club. No complaints, no problem. Everybody lives in harmony.
Mm. Anyways, I thought it was interesting because of exactly that, what's going on in other ranges and that as well. So, why don't you give us what's new in the industry?
Well, Grand Power, their SHOT Show lineup, or most of it except for the Pro Hibs, are now in Canada. I was following Dave Copey when he was down at SHOT Show. And actually, I did ask Ken to have a look at the centimeter for me, but he was, with over 5,000 exhibits, he didn't have time. But
he was a little busy.
He was a lot busy, but I know where there's one very close by if I want to go play with one, so that's even better. I can go check one out. After a few false starts trying to establish...
Just hold on, sorry, before you go on.
Okay.
You know where you can go and check one out, so why don't you go and check it out and do a review for us then?
Yeah, I could do that.
Okay, you can proceed.
But I don't have any 10mm. And it's next to impossible to find. You have to, if you're going to start shooting 10, you're going to have to start reloading. But we'll see. Well, I'll ask John. He might have some 10s.
I'm sure that whoever has it might have some.
I'm sure if I ask nicely, he'll let me. He'll take the shooting.
Yeah. Okay. You now may proceed with the rest of the Grand Power.
Thank you, Miss Co-host. Oh, you're the lead host this week.
I am tonight.
After a few false starts trying to establish itself in the Canadian marketplace, Grand Power now has its own distributor located in central Ontario. Soon after arriving back from the Grand Power booth at SHOT Show, Dave Coping was notified that a couple of skids of guns had just cleared through Canada Customs. So he's got a couple of happy face pictures on Facebook because he went to pick up his shipments. Things are looking good for the new distributor since 50% of their current orders are already sold and are slowly making their way to retailers. And so far, a couple of our charity shoot sponsors are going to be carrying them. SFRC is going to be stocking them. Mm-hmm. NAS should be stocking them. And I think Farms Outlet, but you'd have to really speak to Bon and Fred on that. But so far, at the P1S and the P1 Ultra, he's only got two of each in stock. But besides that, he's got all kinds of the P40s and P40L and 10 and 40. He has lots of the big centimeter pistol. Oh, yes. And he also has a new 45 ACP. Actually, if you go online, I should have put a link in. There's a nice review of Jim Kelly testing the gun. It's quite good. The new P45 and P45L. Lots of Excaliburs. The K100s, very limited number right now. They've only got a few K22s, the K22S trims, the PS1 and the P1 Ultra, and one of those is mine, just saying. So he's got a perfect one for me. Because they came
that
up with
would
new...
be the K22X trim, would it not be?
No, that would be, I think it's the P1 and the P1 Ultra. I asked.
And another one?
I asked for the one with the threaded.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay, never mind.
You know, just in case I do ever get a suppressor. No, I won't put a muzzle brake on it.
All right, whatever.
And I asked about the striker-fired model because Trevor mentioned it, and he posted something on Facebook, and he said he would only interested in the striker-fired.
He mentioned it on another podcast that we're not going to be talking about, right?
No, I don't think it was a podcast. I think it was on Facebook.
Yes, it was.
Was it? Okay.
I
tried not to, but, you know, you had to bring it up. Dave said that the striker fire guns may be months away from release. He said we are not in a rush. It has to be right out of the box. No mid-season revisions, etc. So it's coming, but not anytime soon. So, and I have no use in the striker fire, so I'm not even going to look at it. Now, Grand Power does not usually set up its own manufacturer's suggested retail price for its products, but I have noticed that the guns are selling a little bit 10 to 15% increase, either full pop of what they've got in stock, and any of the new stuff's gone up about 10, 15%. But the Canadian dollar's taking a beating on everybody. And just a quick note on training. If you already own a Grand Power, and you've got your Nipsic shooter, so you've got the belt and mag holders and everything, the K22 pistol is that makes a good training option for the off-season because you still have the same, you may not have the same recoil impulse and noise, but it does have a lot of flip-rossy that Kelly said. So your muzzle's still going to rise. You still have to reacquire your target. So it makes a good off-season practice gun. You just got to remember it likes the hot ammo.
Yeah. What did we say beforehand? Before we started talking about
you don't like the K22.
Recording. No, because it doesn't like ammo, right? And if you're firing 22, you expect there no recoil. And
played with it. I took out one of the springs. I didn't have any problems.
Anyways,
but it's one of these funny things because it says right on the owner's manual, standard velocity ammo only, and you can't run it in the gun. The business agent says you've got to run high velocity.
Mm-hmm.
But so it shoots
in
great.
Other words, don't read the manual.
No, but the Aguila High Speed, I got some great groups with that, and it shot really nice with it. It was a lot of flipperosity because it's a fast little 22, but I think it makes a viable training option.
And it's also expensive.
Yeah, it's really gone up in price.
Mm-hmm. So why don't you just buy a 9mm?
You can get the base K22 for $500. So it's going to cost you, what, 6 or 7 to get a conversion unit for your Glock?
What?
If you want to run 22 with a Glock, say you've got a Glock and you want to run a 22, you're going to have to spend more money on just on the conversion unit instead of buying a gun.
Well, the conversion kit for my Glock right now is $420.
Do you ever use it?
So, the conversion kit? No, I didn't buy it because if I wanted to, an M&P 22 is almost the exact same price.
Exactly.
So
instead of buying a conversion kit, you buy a new gun.
So instead of buying the conversion kit, spend $700 and buy a gun that's not going to work. Right?
No. You can get the K22 for the same price as the M&P, and it will work. It's got a different slide.
No, the M&P is cheaper. The M&P is $499 now, right?
You know, I did like the M&P.
And it actually works.
I did like the M&P.
With all ammo. I know.
It's got a nice trigger on it.
I know, it does, doesn't it? And it fits the hand nicely in that. Anyways, just saying.
Okay.
All right. So at this point, we're going to have George. He's going to talk about guns in the news, or not guns in the news, but our main topic this week. And it's on the reclassification and of restricted and non-restricted. So take it away, George.
Hello, and welcome to the main topic this week. This week, I'm going to talk about the Norinco Type 81. It's just going to be a quick little topic this week, but what inspired it was a bunch of us were chatting, and Kevin had actually brought it up and mentioned it, and decided to take a look at it, and was actually quite intrigued. And then the next day, TV Press Pass, he is an internet personality, does a lot of gun reviews and gun-related posts and such. He did an article, actually a review of the rifle. This is going to be just a bit of a condensed version of his article. I will have a link to the full article in the show notes. So if you want to read the whole thing, just click on that link. So this is from TV Press Pass, February 4th. A new red rifle rears its head over the Canadian wilderness. The Chinese Type 81, after years in the RCMP inspection lab, has been assigned an FRT number and is going to be imported in restricted and non-restricted barrel lengths. And the FRT number is 160486. Not sure why I have the FRT number in there, but it is, so I read it. Type 81 is chambered in 7.62x39, which is kind of known as the AK round. In Canada, since we don't have AKs, that would be your SKS round. I think the SKS would probably be the most popular rifle chambered in that. So continuing on, the Type 81 is chambered in 7.62x39 and might resemble a Kalashnikov from a few hundred meters away, but this hybrid rifle is actually closer to the venerated SKS than the quintessential AK, the Type 81 folding stock. The original Type 81 was the issued assault rifle of the People's Liberation Army of China. But this new civilian-made variant is a dedicated semi-auto receiver produced by Norinco and designed for the Canadian market. Developed in the 1980s, the Type 81 features a last round bolt hold open, a short stroke piston system, and a barrel designed for a spigot style rifle grenade. Now, I had to admit, I had no idea what a spigot style rifle grenade was. So I had to look it up on Google, and my best summation of it would be basically a grenade that you shove down the barrel and then it's fired from the rifle's barrel. Don't think we're going to be using a whole lot of those in Canada, but apparently that's what it was, the barrel was designed for. So, continuing on here, while it does use a proprietary Rock and Lock magazine, rumor is that these rifles will function with AK pattern magazines at the extent, sorry, expense of the bolt hold open feature. So far, Tactical Imports and Canada Ammo have both confirmed that they will be importing versions of the Type 81, and there is no MSRP, so no price, no projected price on these rifles as of yet. I am going to also, there was in the article, there was a link to a Type 81 PDF file from redstararms.com, so that link will be in there as well. And this week's episode picture will be the Type 81. It, let me see if I can describe it. It's got the wood, the pistol grip, the wood forend, like an AK, but the receiver is very SKS-ish. And while I'm saying that, I thought there was. I'll have to look, so don't hold me to it, but I thought there was a YouTube video of this rifle as well, but I could be wrong on that. So it does kind of sort of have some AK-esque feel to it, but it's definitely more SKS, AK, what did I just say? Anyways, check it out. It looks like a neat little rifle. Problem is with the way our market is and kind of how, the consumers in Canada go a little crazy when it comes to, oh, it looks like an AK that's prohibited, so I want to spend, hundreds and hundreds and maybe thousands of dollars on a rifle that's looks like something that it's not. So I guess we can all speculate as to the price, but as of right now, we don't know what the price is going to be. So, and so that's it for the Type 81. It's a new rifle that's coming out. If you like the, kind of the Red Army type of style of rifles, then that might be something you want to check out. And if you don't like wood, then you're probably not going to care. Thomas has added a couple footnotes here since we're talking about new to the market and FRTs and such. He's got down here the RCMP just reclassified the AKDAL, AKDAL, MKA, I don't know how you say that, 1919 from restricted to non-restricted. That's right, the FRT has been updated, and this mag-fed shotgun is officially no longer an AR variant. In December, it was announced that the, oh my goodness, who makes up these names? DERA? DERYA? DERYA? I don't know. MK10 was non-restricted. The AKDAL, whatever, however you say that, is almost identical to the DERA, whatever. Thomas, I'm going to kill you with these stupid names. But was listed as an AR variant for the last several years. So that is some good news. It's always nice to see something going from restricted to non-restricted. And I thought he had something, I thought there was two here, but I only see one in the show notes. So I would like to thank Thomas and Kelly for letting me record this on an off day from when they recorded the show so I could still participate. You guys are awesome. And now I will kick it back to Thomas and Kelly.
And thanks, George, for actually talking to us about the restricted and unrestricted. And maybe next week we'll be able to have all three of us on the call. Anyways.
We did try. We waited till 9 o'clock, and George was still unavailable.
He's been so busy. His shifts are all over the place. Anyways,
But he loves it.
He does?
He does.
I know. I miss him, though. All right, so let's talk about events. Maybe we should talk about the Podcasters Charity event that's happening on June 25th in Brockville, Ontario.
Is it?
Yes. the Brockville Rod and Gun, or sorry, the Fish and Game Club. I keep wanting to call it the Rod and Gun. Anyways, it's the Fish and Game Club on Lynn Road in Brockville. Now, it's going to be happening on the 25th of June. However, that being said, on Friday the 24th, oh, RJ Woods from Fast, Fire Art Solutions Training, or Fast. He's going to be doing a handgun fundamental course, as well as an urban pistol course on the Friday. If you want to go, it is $50 to sign up. Now, that $50 covers RJ's fee, it covers the range rental, and it also covers lunch and different things like that as well.
Yeah, we had to actually rent the range for that. They wouldn't donate the Friday, so well, that's why the fee's up a little bit more from what Rick would normally charge.
Right. Now, they are donating the range for the day after, so which was very, very good.
Well, I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining.
Yeah. The other thing is, it's limited to 14 people. So the first 14 people who sign up for it, we will put you on there. The reason why is 14 is because RJ likes to make sure that the groups are smaller, and he gets to spend time with you in that as well. And I think maybe he's bringing somebody else along to help with that too. So, but if you're interested, put that in with your registration fee in that as well, and just indicate it on your registration form. Now, the Saturday is the actual charity shoot, and you don't need any special certification or anything. You just need to come, but the first thing you need to do is register for it. If you register for May 1st, you'll get a free t-shirt with your registration, plus you'll also get a ticket into one of the door prizes as well. The cost of the event, or the charity shoot itself, is $35, and it's pretty much open to everybody in that, and we've been posting updates and different things. People have been asking questions about it. We've been posting those on the events page on Facebook. If you're not part of the events page, just ask to be added to it, and we'll add you. Right, Thomas?
The only thing I would add is that if you're a non-PAL order holder, if you don't actually have a PAL, and you do mm-hmm. come by yourself to the charity shoot, let us know that, and we'll assign somebody to go with you so you can shoot, because you have to actually shoot under somebody's PAL. So if you bring a guest and they don't have a PAL, you are responsible for your guest when they're shooting, because they'll be shooting under your PAL. Just a reminder.
Right. So it is open to everyone. We're going to have some things there for kids to do as well. If you do bring your kids, just a reminder, they are your responsibility. We'll make sure all our waivers, and we're doing safety briefing beforehand and that. Again, fill out the registration form. You can find your registration forms in the file folder that is on the events page. Now, that being said, on the Sunday, for people who are interested in action shooting, there is an action shooting IPSC thing that's going on. It's not at the Brockville Range. It's actually at the Frontenac Range. And it is the Kingston Summer Fun Provincial IPSC Level 3 match. It's going to be 12 stages. It is $150 to participate. You need to sign up by March 31st in order for you to be part of the charity shoot squad, because we have made arrangements to have a squad that is just for us. And that, after the 31st, if you want to participate in the IPSC match, you can do that directly when they open up the sign up. We're basically facilitating it for people who do want to participate before the sign up happens. It's going to be opening up in April. Anyways, the other thing about that is one thing that you do need certification for. You need to be black badge certified if you're Canadian, and if you come from the U.S., you need to be part of the USPSA, and your membership needs to be up to date. So basically, you need to have paid for your membership, right?
Right.
Yeah. So you were talking a little bit earlier about the fact that Terry, she's not going to be coming, but she does want to actually, she wants to get a t-shirt and she wants to be entered into the door prize as well. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, I think she went online, and because of her mobility issues, it's not physically possible for her to do the charity shoot. The range isn't accessible, then nothing's accessible. But she still wants a t-shirt, and she'll message you the size, and she wants a chance to win the gun.
Yeah. So if you're not able to participate, maybe it's because of, you're just physically not able to make the distance or what have you, if you're, because of the fact you're maybe in Alberta or you're down in the States or something like that, you can send us an e-transfer and we'll send you out a t-shirt and we'll also send you or we'll enter you into the draw for the door prize in that as well.
Yeah, that way you can support Soul Drawing if you can't
Yeah.
attend.
And it's a good cause.
Yeah, $35
So.
gets you a T-shirt with a cool design on it, and you get to win a nice shotgun. And there will be other, might be other prizes, but we can't announce yet that you also may be able to buy online as well too. But
Right.
nothing right now.
Look for
Look
updates
for
on
updates.
the Facebook page and that too. And that being said, we have a couple of new sponsors, don't
We do.
we?
We have a big one. We have the Canadian Shooting Sports Association is now on board as a sponsor.
That's awesome.
They gave a donation, and hopefully John Evers will be shooting up at the charity shoot come June. I asked Mike
I hope
Dunhoven.
he's not going to be shooting up.
Well, I hope Mike Dunhoven comes too. I invited Mike as well too.
You didn't get that. Anyways, okay.
No, I didn't hear what you
Yes.
talked and talking. I didn't hear what you said.
I said, hopefully he's not shooting up at the event.
No, I hope not. I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about filling out the registration forms. As I said, you can find the registration forms in the file section on the events page on Facebook. And you attach those forms. So there's a separate one for the IPSC event, because I have to forward that on to IPSC Ontario. And then there's also a registration form for all of the events that are happening, whether it's on the Friday, Saturday, or the Sunday. And that includes, I want your address, your name, and I also want to know how much, which events you want to participate in, and then also how much money you're going to be sending. So you attach those registration forms in an email, and you send it to newshootercanada@gmail.com. So and then you can also send an email or PayPal, and you can send that to newshootercanada@gmail.com again. What you're going to do is because e-transfers or PayPals, we need a password. So in the original email that you're sending with your registration forms and everything, just make sure that you include your password in that. So when I do go to download the money into the account, I'll have your password and I can do that for you. If not, you're going to get an email back from me saying, "Hey, what's your password?" Right?
Can I just add one thing?
Sure.
I'd like to thank our Canadian advocacy groups. We have the
Yeah, they've been amazing.
CCFR, we have the CFI, we have the CSSA. So three awesome. Thank you guys. We appreciate you participating. We invited them all. I did send a letter to the NFA. I haven't heard back. And in Ontario, the biggest one, the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters. It's a really big group, so I matches them as well too. But I'm happy just to have three of them in there so far. So this.
And the CC FR, they arrange their annual general meeting around the charity shoot, and the directors are coming to the shoot and that as well. So
We're in
it's gonna
the itinerary. They're going from their AGM in
right.
Ottawa, and the entire board of directors of the CCFR will be at the shoot.
Which will be awesome. Anybody who hasn't signed up with them, you can sign up on the day of the event, and that as well. Same thing, anyways, we'll talk about it in our closing statements and that too. So, but thank you to everybody because without you guys, I think this is going to be an awesome and an incredible event. So,
We're
yep.
stronger together, so it's nice to see three of them coming together. Hopefully
Yeah,
more
that's
will come in,
exactly.
but that's it.
Yep. So what I did want to say is if you have an upcoming event, just email us at host@newshootercanada.ca. Now that's actually our regular email address. So again, it's host@newshootercanada.ca. Give us the details and we'll talk about it on our podcast. And that we've been getting a few of them from different people, so that's awesome. And, you know, you can promote your club and all that and the different things that are going on. So, and with spring coming around the corner, I know that there's going to be events that are coming up too.
Yeah, I'd like to get some IDP updates if anybody wants to let us know when the dates for the different matches are, because I have my CDP, so I can shoot IDPA.
So why don't you go to the Ontario one that's is sponsored by the SFRC that's going to be on May 15th.
Mm-hmm. I'm so out of practice.
Well, then you just said that you wanted to do it.
I want to do it, though.
Well, then go and register for it.
And Snetsy rejoined Northumberland Club, so I'll probably be shooting don't laugh. I'll be shooting PPC this summer probably, too.
Okay. So, anyways, why don't you go to the one that's going to be sponsored by SFRC at the Eastern Ontario Range.
That's the Ontario Nationals. And, I will get my butt kicked.
No, you won't.
Yeah.
Anyways. Okay. Some of our fellow shooters are going to be there.
Oh, there'll be lots. I guess Sarah won't be shooting then, eh?
No, I'm not thinking.
Not too bad. Any listener email?
Yeah, we have actually a couple. We have one from Pierre Plourd. I sent him an email. Remember Hans House, the guy that had the conviction? The baker out in BC?
Yeah, he had the alarm garage.
Yeah, he was storing some guns in various places in his house, some legally and not so legally. Anyways, he had stored some of his restricted firearms and non-restricted in his garage. And we had a debate, kind of, you know, about the fact whether it was according to the code or criminal code for storage or not. Anyways, so I thought, well, why didn't I go and fire off an email to Pierre? Now, that being said, this is not legal advice, right? We have to know this. But I asked him if
he is a lawyer, though, so it's his opinion.
It's an opinion.
It's legal opinion. Legal. Okay.
It's not legal advice. So what he had to say was a garage is a room. The question would be whether the garage had been specifically constructed or modified for the secure storage. And I'm thinking it's not. So, anyways, the secured storage of restricted or prohibited firearms as required by the regulations. The fact that there was an alarm is certainly helpful, but it isn't determinative on its own as there isn't any specific direction in the regulations as to what work must be done. More information is required
exactly.
To answer your question, so, such as what work has been done to modify the garage or for secure storage firearms.
Well,
the only thing that they said in the only thing they said was it was a locked garage and it was an alarmed garage. It didn't say any modifications.
Well, the problem lies in the wording, specifically constructed or modified, with no guidelines of what constructed or modified is. There are no guidelines. So he could do things, I guess, he could secure the actual front doors. He could put locks. He could secure it, but there's no legal guidelines.
Right, but what it said was the firearms were out in the open in the locked and alarmed garage. The other thing is loaded magazines loaded magazines were in the firearms, which she's not allowed to do, right?
Definitely.
No. So, anyways, that being said,
it's a mute point because whether or not the garage was secured or not, he'd broken so many laws along the way that even if he had some that was securely stored, it doesn't make a difference. The guy,
Judge Shannon, was very easy on
this guy. Got off so easy.
Just saying. All right. Do you want to actually follow up with our next listener email?
Well, the next one just says, Paul, I guess. Like your podcast. I listen to you guys and gals every week. Sorry for about that, Paul. Was listening to the podcast for dry firing. I have a Pardini SP, which I shot bullseye competition with in the States. Really nice gun. You should try dry firing this gun with snap cap in the chamber. Definitely. You will definitely damage the chamber mouth of a Pardini. He uses a Hill Numbers 2 rib plastic anchor, which is, 4x6/8?
He even provided the part number, which is awesome.
And, you know, we used to do that. I forgot all about this. A lot of people do that, especially in their if they have the clearance in the revolver. Part number is 370326. They are plastic anchor for drywall. I load five of them in the clip. they cycle through. As I cycle the bolt, they have a yellow color, and so you can't mix them up with real ammo. And again, thank you for all the work you do for airing the podcast, Paul. Thanks, Paul. Great idea. I forgot all about that.
So you can go to your local home hardware, Home Depot, Lowe's.
Well, I'm assuming this Hillman number 2 with the part number 370326 will probably work in any he doesn't specify whether this is a rimfire or a 32.
No, I'm thinking it's probably Pardini SP.
No, it's probably a 32 Smith & Wesson.
Yeah. Anyways.
But you can find snap, you can find drywall anchors. I think I actually have some large ones that I was using for my 22 Magnum, so it's a safe option.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he said that, you know, he loaded 5 of them, and they're yellow, so they're very distinctive in that as well. So, So iTunes? We have the exact same iTunes.
Really?
Yeah, so, again, it was 5 stars and fix it, 1-5.
Oh, so he messaged us and he iTuned us. Thanks again, so, Paul.
Yeah, that's it. And Paul's from the United States, so he was our first iTunes review for 2016. So thank you very much. So, yeah, it was really nice.
He deserves a prize. We should actually send him a deck of podcast playing cards for the first review of 2016.
All right, you giving up a set of yours?
I got a set right in front of me he can have.
Okay. So, Paul, we're going to reply to your email, and we're going to get your mailing address, and we're going to send you out a set of podcaster playing cards.
Because now Kelly doesn't have to cry herself to sleep every night because she didn't get an iTunes review.
Okay. I didn't really do that anyways, just saying. Right now, Facebook. I went and updated our Facebook. I feel like I'm going through puberty or something with my throat.
It's a little long past that, don't you think, dear?
It's squeaking. pubescent
You've been
boy.
Sick for a long time.
I know. Well, apparently this sickness, what I have, people have had it for 5 or 6 weeks, and anyways, I'm in week 3.
I hope I don't get it.
Yeah, I hope so too. Anyways, okay, Facebook, we're at 365 likes, so thank you very much. Keep sharing and liking us, everybody, and thank you for your support in that regards.
And
too,
I really watch those Facebook likes every time they goes up a couple.
I know.
We're at 5.
He keeps messaging us. Oh, my gosh.
It's nice to see that as an indicator of your growth.
It is, because when I first came on in May, I know we were at like 100 and maybe 12... 15, and we're at 635. And so thank you very much for everybody for your support.
So hopefully we'll be passing the Canadian redneck soon.
Okay, so every time you mention them, they get more likes. You know that, right?
Okay, everybody, unlike the Canadian redneck. Just go over that page and hit unlike.
Oh, gosh.
George will cry. Oh, he can't cry in his beer. He drank it all at the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Okay.
Closing comments?
Closing comments.
Join one of our advocacy groups, such as the CSSA, the CCFR, or the CFI, or anyone that you do support. As I said, there's also and the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters. Have a listen to some of the other podcasts, such as Reloading Radio. The Reloading Radio podcast, I think it's called.
Yeah.
It's a great show. My personal favorite is Slamfire and Modern Rufflin Radio. There's also the Sorry, George.
What do you think of our own podcast?
I think we're pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm. But Slamfire is still your personal favorite, isn't it?
It's a toss up. Modern Rufflin Radio has a good one too. And they've got Julie Golub, so they get extra special bonus points for that.
Yeah, because she's cute.
Yeah. She is cute, but she's an awesome shooter, and she's a great instructor.
Right.
And then we have
You see that? Just hold on a second. Did you see the pictures of Ken and Julie?
Yeah.
Hey, were you jealous?
Maybe a little.
Okay.
More envious than jealous.
Okay. You can continue now.
Okay. We also listen to the Armed Couple, the Armed Squirrels Project, Geeks, Gadgets, and Guns, and hopefully Caliber Quebec Radio soon.
Right, and we're trying to set that up for...
And Jazz.
Right, so Jazz. So Geeks, Gadgets, and Guns?
Have you ever listened to them?
I've been going on a,
It was Stacy that told me about that one. She says there's a really good one about them trying to transport a trailer. Hang on, I'll show it for it. And she got me the link for it. And I've been listening to it ever since.
Well, no, I've been listening to a lot of their back episodes and everything, too. I think they're hilarious. Where do you talk about Ren and Stimpy and guns at the same time? Come on, seriously.
Well, they lose me sometimes because they're really, you know, tech-heavy.
Well,
I don't know what to talk about half the time. And they start talking about gadgets.
You don't know what we're talking about half the time.
Wow, this is true, too.
Anyways,
I know anything about Apple and computers and gigs and megs and RAMs, and I know I plug this in here and it works. I'm happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but no, they're really funny, but at the same time, they talk about a lot of things that people can relate to, and then also, you know, to guns and that as well.
And we were talking to Jazz, so he is working on getting Calgary Quebec Radio out as soon as possible.
Right. He just had some, you know,
life happens.
Some issues.
He's busy.
Yeah, life happens. Right, George? Oh, yeah, George's not here.
Bum, bum. Hey, we've been really good. We haven't thrown one of the bus once.
I know. I miss him.
Drives all the way out to Oshawa, a 5-hour frickin' drive, and he's less than 2 or 3 kilometers from my house, and he doesn't call me.
I think that's a snub on you.
Yeah.
Anyways, so shout-outs. Like, seriously, Thomas, it's like in font number 5,000.
That was by accident, so you go first.
All right. I have a couple shout-outs. So the first shout-out is to our friend Mario. Mario, I just wanted to say congratulations and a huge shout-out to him because he competed in the Montreal Indoor EPSEC match. Remember that?
Yeah.
That was taking place on the 29th and 30th of January. He is now black badge certified.
Excellent. That was his first match. Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah, so, yeah, he's all good to go. And I also wanted to give a shout-out to Fred, our friend from Nouveau-Brunswick.
French so, Freddy.
Yeah, so he mentioned on one of our many posts about last week's show about the cert pistol. He said, you do know that it's actually prohibited, right? And we do. We should have mentioned that. During the interview, it's not prohibited down in the States. In Canada, it is prohibited. However, there is a stipulation. If you're military or if you're part of a police force, you are able to get one. That being said, the AR-15 bolt is not prohibited, but Fred did catch that, and so I wanted to thank him about that. There are places in Canada that will sell it and distribute it and that, but it's, yeah, you have to be either part of the military or police force.
I remember when they tried to bring these in, I think they're restricted. I don't think they're prohibited.
Yeah, they are actually not prohibited.
They are prohibited? Okay, I thought they were restricted.
There was kind of iffy around it and that, and then I went back and checked and it was actually prohibited and that, so, and Fred caught that.
That's
Fred
stupid.
Actually catches, he's a faithful listener, you know.
He is.
He catches a lot of our stuff.
He's a very nice guy, like Fred, actually.
He is, and I think he's planning on attending the charity event, too, so.
Oh, I hope so. I hope so. Really decent guy. He's got some nice guns, too.
Mm-hmm. And didn't he? Oh, yeah. I was part of the committee that picked him as one of the guys that
had the nicest butt or something? Yes, yes. Okay, he's.
No, it wasn't the nicest butt.
Then all the girls. Wasn't Jules' job at one of the shoots to take pictures of everybody?
Everybody's butt? This is such a squirrel moment. But yes, it was.
And didn't you girls vote on Fred?
No, it wasn't butt. It was Fred who was standing out in his daytime job. He was standing outside, out front of a tank with slam fire radios. Oh, yeah, we mentioned that other place. Anyways. With a
shiny thing.
It was a contest they were having. So so all the ladies, we had to judge who, there was 2 spots. And I think it was Daniel Shaw or was it the Tommy Course or something. Anyways, so he got to participate in that, and also Brian Bolivar, our other friend, got to participate. Now, Brian Bolivar, he got in because of the fact he was wearing a kilt.
Yeah, I remember.
And that, so.
And still, when Jewel was handed the camera, that's all she did was take butt pictures, and the girls voted and who had the nicest butt, and Fred won that one, too.
No, we didn't. Anyways, that being said, do you want to talk in your 2000 font?
I just want to thank David Coping for I don't know why I clicked that front size, for giving me his ear and telling me about all the new products that are coming into town. So I look forward to meeting up with Davey M soon and getting my gun.
That's good. It'd be nice for you to get it and to shoot it. And that.
I'm still waiting for my Christmas present.
Oh, stop whining. It's not very becoming, Thomas.
But it's my Christmas present.
It's your Christmas
present. It's my Christmas present.
All right. So, on that note, Merry Christmas. Let's finish the show. Good night, everybody.
Take a kid shooting.
No.
You do George this time.
No.
Come on. Give us your best sick voice of George.
Keep all your barrels downrange and smoking.
Take a kid shooting.
And keep it glassy.
Sorry for the train wreck. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you for taking the time and listening to our show. Our audience is important to us, and we encourage our listeners to contact the show with feedback, suggestions, or questions that you may have. You can contact the guys at host@newshootercanada.ca, and please like our Facebook page. Thanks for listening, and have a groovy day. I like guns.